Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our families are falling apart. We as a nation have a total to say.
Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
Radio. This is If My People with your host, Pastor Leona Ross. Welcome all of you in the chat room. This is a show where we will be discussing topics of ministry. We'll have an inspirational poetry corner, inspirational moment. Today, our topic is So You Telling Me to Be Quiet. And we're going to be expressly speaking about women in ministry. What is their place? What are the ongoing views and what are the misconceptions regarding women pastors and women clergy? So many women have been relegated to that of a servant only. We're good to work in the kitchen. We're good to clean the house of God, but we're not dare go to the pulpit. What's wrong with you? Don't you know that Timothy says, be quiet? So we're going to be talking about that and see why this concept is indeed in error. But first, if you want to call into the show, you can call in at 516-531-9550. We would love to hear what you have to say. Or you can log in online at Blog Talk Radio. All right. Let's go ahead and get this party started. We're going to start with our inspirational poetry corner moment. And this is a poem called Empowered Woman, and it's a poem by Sunny Carroll. And it simply reads as thus. The empowered woman, she moves through the world with a sense of confidence and grace. Her once reckless spirit now tempered by wisdom. Quietly, yet firmly, she speaks her truth without doubt or hesitation, and the life she leads is of her own creation. She now understands what it means to live and let live, how much to ask for herself and how much to give. She has a strong yet generous heart, and the inner beauty she emanates truly sets her apart. Like the mythical phoenix, she has risen from the ashes and soared to a new plane of existence, unfettered by the things that once posed such resistance. Her senses now heightened, she sees everything so clearly. She hears the wind rustling through the trees, beckoning her to live the dream she holds so dearly. She feels the softness of her hands and muses at the strength that they possess. Her needs and desires she has learned to express. She has tasted bitter and savored the sweet fruits of life. overcome adversity, and push past heartache and strife. And the one thing she never understood, she now knows to be true. It all begins and ends with you. See, we got to know that. It all begins and ends with who? With our Father, with our Heavenly Father. All right. Now, before we get into the topic, we're going to hear a gospel medley by Marvia Providence. And immediately after that, we are going to delve into this topic about what a woman's place is in ministry and how we got so, and how it has gotten so bottled up and misconstrued in today's church world. So here we go, Marvia Providence, Inspirational Melody.
Come on. a good God. He's a good God. He's my healer, my way maker, my deliverer.
Was Marvia Providence. Even death could not hold him captive. Even in the grave, he is Lord. Amen. All right. She's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, y'all. That girl sung that song. You know? She said, even death. All right, now, y'all. Y'all better recognize. Y'all better understand. The best thing and all they're getting, get some understanding. And we're going to get some understanding here right now about a woman's place in ministry. We're going to debunk some of these myths, some of these lies, some of these, you know, just outright blatant disregard for the word of God and what it is actually saying. Now, we're going to start with the most popular scripture in 1 Timothy 2. We're going to go right to the meat of the thing. And, of course, again, if you would like to comment, our call-in number is 516-531-9550. And push 1 if you would like to comment. Once you call in, you can also listen in online at Blog Talk Radio. What is this? This is, give me a second and I can tell you. blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. That's blogtalkradio.com/RRL345 if you want to listen in online. All right. Now, at 2 Timothy, at 1 Timothy, rather, chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. It says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefaced and sobriety. That means to be sober, y'all. Don't come in there drunk, high, all of that. No embroidered hair or girl or gold or pearls or costly array. You don't got to be dressed to the nines to be coming in there. Okay, to be coming in the presence of God. This is what he's talking about, coming into the temple, to the house of God. But which becometh women professing godliness. See, so you dress like a woman that is professing godliness with good works. That's what he said. It's not just how you dress. It's also about good works. It's about your deeds. It's about what you are doing in the house and for the house of God. Your good works. Verse 11. And here it is. Here it is, y'all. Y'all get ready as you hold it on to your seats. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, nah. Okay, it don't matter what you got on. Okay, that's fine. As long as you come dressed appropriately, but don't you open your mouth. This is where it comes from. This is what they're saying. Designed to keep you is a trick of the enemy, designed to keep you in bondage in the house of God and sometimes in your own home. See, and this is Paul speaking, but we're going to find out why he's saying this. He said, and I want y'all to keep in mind in verse 11, he said, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I want you to keep that word subjection in right there on your back burner. Just keep that right there, because we're going to come back to that. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I want you to keep that subjection and usurp right there on your plate. I want you to just keep that right there. Don't let it go nowhere. Okay? And now let's discuss. Right here. We're going to stop right here just for a second. Because he said, I would not suffer. I can't stand for a woman to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So that right there, when he's telling the women that, listen, you got to be in silence and you got to be in subjection. So he's telling Timothy how to govern the women in Corinth in the church. See, because apparently there was a problem with these particular women. Apparently, they didn't know their place. Apparently not. Because they were trying to take over. That's what usurp means. Usurp means you are trying to override the one that is in authority. See? That's why he said you should learn in what? Subjection. You need to subject yourself to the one that God has placed in authority in that church, in that head position. And it's not you. It's not you. So he was telling Timothy, listen, all those bold and bodacious women that come in there and they want to take over and tell the men what to do, maybe because they have it like that at home, they're allowed to tell their husbands what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and he does it. But in the house of God, you don't have that authority. Sit down. Close your mouth. That's what he meant. That's what he meant. It wasn't for all women. I'm sorry if that's what you were told, but that's totally incorrect. It was not meant for all women. It was for those women who failed to subject themselves to the headship and the authority of that particular congregation. They wanted to own things. They wanted to have it their way. See? See, so this particular scripture was a scripture of correction. See, now in contrast to that, since women are you say women are supposed to be silent. I want you to go on over to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 17, and it says that Peter stood up, and he said, this is that was prophesied by the whole prophet Joel, another man. Oh, wow. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Saith who? This is what God is saying. Saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream. But let's go back a verse. He says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. No, I'm going to pour it out on the men flesh. No, it says all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Ross? Just what does prophesy mean? Well, I got that for you in the Greek text. You just hold your little horses right there, because I'm getting ready to tell you right now. The Greek word translated prophesy, prophesying, or prophecy in both passages particularly properly means to speak forth or declare the divine will, to interpret the purposes of God, or to make known in any way the truth of God, which is designed to influence people. To influence people? You mean to tell me prophesy simply means to speak or declare the word of God, and he says that our sons and our daughters shall what? Prophesy? So that means they can speak. That means that they can minister. See, because they are going to declare the divine will of God. Not come in to take over the church. Not come in and try to tell the pastor or the deacons what to do. Not to come in and try to tell the financial secretary that we need to spend money on this rather than this. We don't need a building fund. And you got a hole in your roof, but you don't need a building fund. Because they think that it needs to be spent elsewhere. I'm talking about usurping authority. I'm talking to the women and explaining to you the women that Paul was talking about and that he was talking to. He wasn't talking to all women in totality, because that would have made Paul a hypocrite and double-minded in all his ways. Because he commended women who had churches in their house. No, y'all didn't know that. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself what? Study to show thyself approved. See? Study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed of his what? Of his hire. So you don't need to be ashamed when you know the truth. See? Because in the closing chapter in the book of Romans, Paul writes a letter, and he mentions no less than 10 women. Phoebe was at the head of the list. See? She was the one that delivered Paul's letters to the churches, to the people. And not only does he introduce her, but he also gives her a glowing recommendation and refers to her as our sister. He also referred to her as a minister or a deacon. So Phoebe was a woman, am I right? But this is the same scripture that you use to villainize women and to tell them that they can't speak, that they are not allowed to talk. Okay? And let's not forget about Priscilla and her husband Aquila. And they were ministry colleagues of Paul. And he mentions Priscilla many times. Many times. As they were very useful to him, and he appreciated them in ministry. So then why is it that women are told to be silent still yet in the modern day church? First of all, Most times it was due to the patriarchal society that was in effect during those times. And if your husband spoke, that's what it was, that's what was meant, and you had no rights. You had no rights at home, and you definitely had no rights at the church. You were designed for two things, to be a wife, a mother, and a cook. That's it. Those were your roles. Back in the 1950s in this country, there was a book that was placed down in all of the schools, and you were taught how to clean, sew, and cook. If you went to schools in the early 70s, in the 70s and early 80s, you had home economics classes where you learned how to sew, you learned how to cook, you learned how to take care of your home because you were expected to be a wife, a mother, and a cook. That was your life's, to be your life's ambition. You are not to work outside of the home because for a man to have a wife that worked outside of the home, it was shameful. That means that was a message that he could not take care of his home if his wife had to work. So no, she didn't go to work. She barely even had the opportunity to drive. Things that we take for granted today. Most women this day and time, they have to work in order to take care of their family. Tell a woman today that she can't drive and see what kind of fight you have on your hands. Where you going? You better put them keys down. Who in the world are you talking to? See, it was a very different time then. See, when the 60s came around and we had this plethora, this inundation of free love and the hippie culture and women movement, the feministic move. And women decided that, oh yeah, I can do what I want to do. I am woman. Hear me roar. And they started coming out of those traditional roles. See, nothing under the sun is new. Nothing under the sun is new. Paul had problems with women in the church, and now, because of the feminist movement, the modern-day church back then began to have problems with women as well, because they no longer just wanted to sit in their white hat, white dresses, and be silent. They just didn't want to be the prayer warriors or the deaconesses. No, they wanted now to be heard. They wanted to have some authority. They no longer wanted to be in subjection to the leader of that ministry, to the leader of that church. Why? Because just like Miriam and Aaron, coming against Moses. Or we hear from God too. Don't God speak to us not realizing that they're coming against an ordained leader, a man of God that God himself chose. They didn't. You didn't put him there. God put him there. If indeed he is a man of God, then that's who put him there. And you're not coming against him. You are coming against God himself. But see, Mary and Aaron did not know that. Just like in Numbers chapter 11, when Korah and 250 of his friends came against Moses and told Moses, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. We hear from God too. Now, the question is, what God are you hearing from that is going to make you come against a God-ordained leader? We're talking about our Father who is in heaven. We're not talking about all those other gods, Baal and Ashtaroth and all of those spirits that speak to you. So, because what you fail to realize is that when Paul was speaking and he was talking about the women, and he was talking about they need to be silent. He was talking about a spirit of rebellion. Because if you continue to go down into the next verse, what he says was, and Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Because she knew what the law was. Adam told her. Adam was her head. She knew she wasn't supposed to eat from that tree, but she allowed the serpent, the spirit of Satan in it, to continue to talk to her and to convince her that nothing was going to happen to her. And deception crept in. And she ate from the tree, and then she took it to Adam. See? And most times we as women, you know, let's be honest, we love a good conversation. We'll start talking to somebody and get all caught up, and before we know it, we're talking about the wrong stuff. We're listening to the wrong stuff. Agreeing with the wrong stuff. And we don't even realize it. Don't even realize it because it's just a what? A good conversation. And I believe that's how Eve got caught up. It was just a good conversation. Why? Because the spirit of loneliness rested on her. Adam was always off what? Talking to God or doing his work. He was about his father's business when he was in the presence of his father. Remember, he was created in God's image. There was nothing that he couldn't do, that God could do, that Adam couldn't do. So no doubt Eve, a lot of times, probably found herself alone talking to the animals, because if she was not, then she would not have been so easily distracted or so easily deceived and talking with a snake. See? She was quite comfortable in her element. And that's what Paul is talking about. These women are quite comfortable in their element because they are used to having the authority to tell a man what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And if we go on down in that book, in Timothy chapter 2, you know, he says that she will be saved in childbearing. That, this is your duty. This is what you will be saved by. See, this is what you're limited to. But if we go in chapter 2, now if we go on over in chapter 2, we will see that Paul went on to tell the men how to run their household. Told them how to run their households. See? And he was admonishing them that if you can't run your household, then how then can you run the house of God? He starts out saying, he said, now this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. See, always back to that good work. Told the women of God that they had to do what? A good work. Faith without works is what? Dead. You just can't sit there and say, I believe, and you don't put your hand to nothing that God has told you to do. You don't believe. It just sounds good. You just caught up in a good conversation. See, so now he goes on in verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. He said, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, of filthy lucre, that's money, but patient, not a brawler, that's a fighter, not covetous, not wanting what somebody else got. One that ruleth his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So if you got a woman or wife, your wife is running the house and she thinks that she can come in and run the church, yeah, she needs to be silent because this ain't her house. And you need to get your house in order. See, because it says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If you can't get your wife in under control at your house, if she's not in subjection to you, what office can you possibly hold in the house of God? So you're supposed to be the head. You are supposed to be the provider. You are supposed to be the decision maker. A man of God has no business. I've got to consult my wife before I make a decision about God's business. What did God tell you to do? See, it's a spiritual thing. But if you got to consult your wife, then something is out of order, because it's supposed to be a spiritual thing, but apparently it's a fleshly thing, because you're supposed to be the head, the God ordained head, and you're consulting your wife. Why? And don't misconstrue, people. Don't misconstrue. I'm talking about when it comes to God's business. Normal, everyday things that run on in your household, yes, consult your wife. I'm not saying go ahead and take all the money out in the bank and buy the latest whatever that you want, TV, game, car, whatever. Don't do that. Consult her on those things. But when it comes to the word of God, when it comes to that which God has given you to do, no, you don't need to consult her. If God has already given you instructions, that's what you need to run with. And either she's going to follow along and run with you or not. Because remember, God didn't call her a wife. Adam called her a wife. God called her a helpmate. She was supposed to be there to help him. I know y'all women don't like this, but it's okay. We going to get some straightening today, and we going to get it right. We going to get it right. Stop being bullheaded and want to be the ones in charge all the time and be in our rightful places so that our homes can be in order, so that they can be blessed. A real woman of God understands that. She understands how and when to be submissive. She understands what it means to be in subjection. A real man of God is ruled by the Spirit of God. And as it says in Ephesians, after it says a woman should be subject to her husband, but it says that a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church and what died for it. See, we always want to quote that scripture. See, these are those traditional scriptures that are used to keep women in bondage. But if you're not doing as it says right here in 1 Timothy 3, if you're not ruling your house well, then why should she obey you? Why should she be in subjection to you if you're not ruling your house well? If you're not being the provider that God called you to be, why should she be in subjection to you? And a lot of times, I'm sorry, gentlemen, a lot of times that's when women begin to rebel, because you ain't taking care of business. You're not being the provider that you need to be. You're not loving her as Christ loved the church. It's not a physical thing. If you're going to be in unity, it has to be a spiritual thing. It's one in agreement, one accord. One accord. So that when trouble does arise, you can sit down and have a godly conversation, pray about it, hear from God, and move on. And not letting whatever the circumstance was become a monumental mess up. And I'm talking about divorce. I'm leaving. I ain't got to do what you say. Because now you've allowed the spirit of rebellion to come in because, number one, you didn't want to be the headship that God called you to be. Oh, this is my money. I work for this. Really? When you're supposed to take care of her? He said he died for it. That means he gave up everything. He gave up his life, all of his worldly possessions. He didn't hold on to anything. He couldn't. And the guy in that Gethsemane, he said, man, listen, and I'm paraphrasing because this is Jesus talking here. He said, y'all can't pray with me not even for an hour. People were asleep. So he went back praying again. And he said, God, Father, if this should be your will, let this cup pass for me. I don't want to die for these people. They won't even pray with me for an hour. They can't even stand with me for 1 hour. I'm here getting ready to die for all of creation. And these little three people who are supposed to be the closest to me can't even pray for me in my time of need. But he said, nevertheless, let thy will be done. So regardless of what they do or can't do or won't do or even did, let your will be done anyhow, God, because this is a place that you have called me to. This is a job that you have given me as the head cornerstone of the church. This is what I have to go through. This is what I am called to do. So unless we have that, fellas, for our wives, what right do we have when she rebels against us to want to leave or to tell her to leave or to strike her or to come against her when you're not living up to your end of the bargain? But you're so good at telling a woman that she needs to be silent. Well, you need to be a provider. You need to live up to the scripture as well. God has no respect of person. These are the things. These are the things that he holds you accountable to. So we're so good. Clergy. I'm talking about you pastors, evangelists, some apostles, you know, teachers, clergy, you pulpit persons who's so good at telling a woman her place, who's so good at calling her out her name because of the clothes she wears. Maybe that's all she has to wear. Maybe she was just looking for deliverance, but because you saw her in a short dress, or because you saw her in leggings or tights, and you want to label her a hoe, a slut, a woman less than. But you never took the time to get to know her. She's just coming in the door. Has she been taught anything better? You're the teacher. It says apt to teach, given to hospitality, good behavior, vigilant, sober, patient. Did you talk to the young lady? Did you explain to her that those clothes were inappropriate and ask her, did she need anything else or did she have anything else? Or did you just look at her and you decided, you judged her? But you're supposed to be Christ-like. But yet and still, when Jesus brought the woman who was caught in the midst, they said in the midst of adultery, when they brought her to him, he didn't say anything to her. He asked them, he said, who would I see cast the first stone? And all of them walked away. He said, woman, where art thou accused? accusers. She said, there aren't any. And he said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. He didn't ask that question. Because, see, everybody misses the part and nobody asks the question, well, where's the man that she was caught in the midst of adultery with? They said she was caught in the very act. Well, where that lady husband at that she was caught with? But you want to condemn women. Christ said not so. Because you are just as guilty. So y'all don't like that. Y'all don't like that. But that's the truth of the matter. That's what we said we were going to discuss. We are going to discuss the truth of the matter when you're telling women to be silent and God's word says differently. He says, my sons and my daughters will prophesy. See? See? But from the beginning, if you understand, that it's not a fleshly thing anyhow. It's a spiritual thing. Because in the beginning in Genesis, he said he made them what? Male and female. They were one. Eve was on the inside of Adam. It was one body. There is no gender in Christ. In the spirit, there is no gender. That is just something we use to procreate. Adam toted the seed. Eve was the ground that he had to implant the seed in. Because God's word said everything must reproduce after his what? Own kind. See? Everything had to reproduce after its own kind, after its own self. So there had to be some fertile ground to plant that seed. So God pulled Eve out of Adam to populate the entire earth. So how then, if God created them equal, how did they become less than? Because the Bible does not say that when Eve ate, creation fell. It says that when Adam ate, creation fell. Because the commandment was given to Adam. Dominion was given to Adam. Eve was his helpmate. She was not the head. So then if you have women, or if you have a wife that's usurping your authority, that's rebelling against everything that you are saying or you are trying to do, you don't need to look at her. You need to, sir, look in the mirror and see what part of you is not stepping up to the plate. Because your house is out of order. Titus chapter 1, Paul told Titus, he said, I sent you to Crete to set things in order. What are you calling me for? Titus, I sent you to Crete. Now, what do I need you for if you can't set things in order? I'm not coming. You have the ability to do that which I called you to do. Why are you calling me? See? So listen. Listen, Titus, but this cause I left you in Crete, that you should have set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed you, that if any be blameless, here it is again, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. Not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. All of that is required of you as a husband, as a man of God, as a leader in the church. So, again, why should women be silent? What is the reasoning for this? So you need, as I said, look no further than the mirror. Are you holding up your end of the bargain before you telling a woman of God to be silent? Which God has ordained and called. Because he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. My sons and my daughters shall what? Prophesy. See, and Jesus followed through because at the tomb, none of his disciples were there. It was a woman who told it the first message. It was a woman who ran back and told the disciples that Christ had risen. It was a woman. Not only that, the woman at the well. He sat and he talked with her. His disciples had went off elsewhere. He told her everything that she did. And she said, you know, if I had this water, give me some of this water that I thirst no more. And he revealed to her who he was. And she took off running and evangelized that entire city. It was a woman. She spoke the word of God to people, to the men who believed and came out and saw Christ. But I would suffer a woman not to what? Not to speak, no, an unruly woman. A woman who is out of order. So not for the women of God. It's not for the women of God. So, when we get to the point where women pastors who have been duly called by God, I'm not talking about self-appointed. Not talking about self-appointed. Because there are many who are false prophets. There are many who are false apostles, who are self-appointed, who have exalted themselves, who have no head, but say they have a ministry. How is that if Christ is the head? Who are you under? Who are you subjected to? Who is your covering? How are you out there on your own? Because even Christ wasn't on his own. He always said, I'm about my Father's what? Business. He always said that. He could do nothing on his own. So then how you a long shark and you have a ministry on your own with no covering and no head, that too is out of order. Knowing your place, knowing the will of God and the order of the church of how God set things in order. He didn't call you to be a lone wolf. He didn't call you to be by yourself. You need a head because that's how he set up the church. First apostles, then prophets, then teachers and pastors, evangelists. Ministry of health. Everybody is not an apostle. That's why he said some. Everybody is not a prophet. That's why he said some. But because of that same spirit of self-pride, covetousness, and rebellion, the church is out of order. And this is the same issue that Paul had in Corinth. So he had to tell the women to be silent. Because the men weren't strong enough to make them shut up. They weren't strong enough to put them in their place. So the apostle had to come and set things in order. That's his job. When things are out of order, to bring structure back into the church. But how can you have structure when you have a long wolf pastor, someone who has appointed themselves, and instead of exhorting the people, encouraging the people, building the people up, there he's destroying them and tearing them down, cussing them out. Really? What is this world coming to? Well, Timothy tells you, they will not endure sound doctrine. They will speak every manner of evil and say it's God. And say it's God and say it's okay. And say it's okay. And everything is exposed now because we have social media. And then they justify it. They justify their wrongness with scripture. They'll say, oh, well, Timothy says correct and exhort. No, he says correct. Bring to correction. But Paul gave him the methods of to do this, of how to do this correctly. Do not rebuke an elder in front of other people. You standing on your pulpit talking about what Sister Sally did last week and calling out everything but the name God gave her. Really? And you think that's okay with God? Because remember, these are his people. He told Ezekiel, if you buffer my sheep. See, these people, they buffered his sheep, but God was going to come and bandage them up. He said, woe to the shepherds who have buffered my sheep. Did you fail to realize that these are God's people? So when you're trying to keep women under your thumb and under subjection to what you think is right and how things should go, you better check yourself, because they're still a child of God. And you're going to have to answer to him at the end of the day, regardless. And you can explain it away. And you can say, oh, I know I'm right. And this is how it's supposed to be. But is that what the word says? Is that really what the word says? I don't think so. I just gave you all the examples. Gave you examples from Paul. Using women. Exhorting women. And of Nympha, he says, and in Colossians, he said, and the church in what? Her house. And the church in her house. See? He talks about Chloe. And commends her. So how then is Paul against women? You know, we can no longer, you know, be stifled and disregarded and pushed aside from the work of ministry just because one has an incorrect understanding of the scripture. Well, the Bible says test the spirit by the spirit to see if it is of God. That's 1 John 1:1. Because many false prophets have what? Have been sent out into the world. God will use who he's going to use. And who are we to deny that? Who are you to deny that? God has no respect for person. He's going to use who he wants to use. So we can't keep his word in bondage. We can't keep it in bondage. He's not going to allow that. Not going to allow that. So the next time you open your mouth and tell a woman pastor, who is a woman of God, she can't preach in your church, I rethink that. She might can't preach in her in your church, but God will surely make room for her ministry. He will surely make room for her ministry if he is indeed sent to her. Romans 16:5, Paul says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Acacia unto Christ. And to our beloved, Philemon 1 and 2, and to our beloved, Aphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that is in thy house. These are women with their husbands. And Paul is saluting them and acknowledging them before the church. So how is it that they cannot speak? That is an error. That is an error. A gross injustice in ministry. Because again, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And it's not about the flesh. But it's about the Spirit of the living God who has called you to speak. He's told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in thy mother's womb, I knew thee. And I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. Before you was even born, boy, I knew what you was going to be. So how are we going to out know God if he has sent that woman to speak, to bring out his people? We're going to usurp the power of God? I think not. I think not. So, women, if you have surely been called by God and you know that this is your calling, walk in all power and authority that God has given you. Don't worry about the naysayers. As the scripture says, your gift will make room for you. Yes. Yes, there'll be adversity. There will always be adversity. Because our enemy is always busy. He says he's roaming through the earth seeking whom he may devour. Don't let it be you. Stay prayed up. Stay in the will of God. Walk with all power and authority, regardless of what anybody else says. They didn't put you there. God did. See, if indeed you are a woman of God, a real, true woman of God. I'm not talking to the ones that's playing church. I'm not talking to those who call themselves. But I'm talking to the ones who are indeed women of God, just to encourage you, just to empower you, that when that scripture comes up, remember these words. Remember these examples. Remember what the real word of God says in all gravity, because it does not change. This is the truth of the matter. This is the truth of the matter. And now you have these scriptures that truly explain First Timothy chapter 2. Tell them to go to chapter 3 and explain what their place is and how they should act and what their responsibilities are. First, before they try to degrade or admonish you into what you should or should not be doing, why you should be silent. Because God has given you the authority to speak to his people with compassion, with love, by his spirit, to bring them out, to heal, to deliver, to set free, to pray. Most prayer warriors in the church, they are women. Because we are nurturers. God has given us that. God has given us that. So if he has called you to be a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, walk in all authority of that ministry, that God gets the glory out of your life. Don't shrink back in fear, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He has given you everything that you need to accomplish the assignment that he has pressed upon you. And yeah, it's hard because you have everything from every side coming against you, telling you what you can't do or who you can't be or why you should not be there. But God opened doors that no man can shut. He'll put you in places that they'll wonder, well, how did she do that? And don't be like Eve. Don't be deceived. Once you're put in a good place, in a high place, in the presence of God, don't be deceived and lose your place. Remember the one that placed you there. Acknowledge him. Be grateful. Be thankful. And endeavor with all that God has placed in you to grow and to move forward. It is not impossible. If he gave it to you, it is for you to do. It is for you to accomplish. It's not impossible. So we're going to take a break here. Whew, 5-minute break. Been talking a long time. If you have any questions, raise your hand. We will answer them. But first, we're going to hear Grateful by Hezekiah Walker. And right after that, we will return. Thank you.
This time I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful.
Have done.
Look at him and tell him, yes, I'm grateful.
I'm grateful for
the victory that we've won. Tell him I could go on and on.
About your works.
Because I'm grateful. Praise you, Lord. Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
Such a poignant song at this juncture in the show, because you know we always have to be grateful for all that God has done in our life and is doing. Just having the opportunity to speak to you all worldwide at this time, I am grateful because as a woman in ministry, the battles that you we have to fight as women are not so commonplace for men, because they're more easily accepted. Women have been stereotyped to either want to be a pastor's wife or the church hoe, you know, been relegated to that. But as a woman in authority, see, as a pastor, as a minister, as an evangelist, we have to walk in holiness. We have to walk in righteousness because of that fight. We have to be doubly careful of how we carry ourselves. It's not a position to be taken lightly. We can't be in the corner gossiping with the sisters. See, because we'll be perceived as telling the folks' business. So we have to be very careful how we walk, as to how we are perceived, not only out within the church, but as outside as well. And I'm not saying it's fair, because because we'll be judged more harshly. So therefore, we have to be doubly more careful of how we carry ourselves, of how we speak, how we conduct business. See? Because the enemy has set it up that, you know, most think that we're not supposed to be there anyway. That's the fight. That's the fight. So we can't take this position lightly. We can't take this calling lightly. Now, how many speakers, when they're called up to the mic to speak in church, and they say, giving honor to God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, we say that. But what does that mean? Author means that he's the creator, he's the instiller, he's the writer. Finish means that it is complete, but we're not finished until we leave this earth. So what we do in the middle is our choice. How we carry ourselves is our choice. He's never going to force us to do anything. He's never going to force us to abide by his will. So as women clergy, we have to be conscientious at all times how we carry ourselves. And allow the real spirit of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us daily. We have to have a teachable spirit that we can hear our leaders. See? Because no woman is a head alone. She has to have a head over her, an apostle, that she is subject to. Because you didn't get here by yourself. Contrary to popular belief, I'm sorry. You didn't get here by yourself. Yes, you do need to be subject. Yes, you do need to be submissive. Just because you the pastor of the church doesn't mean you have the final say-so, because you're supposed to have a leader. You're supposed to have a man of God over you. And above him, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, which are as one. And if you have their spirit, and then you truly are in subjection to them, then you will have their spirit. That you don't walk in error. That you don't walk contrary. That you aren't like Eve, deceived by a conversation. And don't think, women of God, don't think. Especially single women of God, and even some of you who are married, you're not safe either. That the enemy isn't going to send some man to entice you, to tell you how well you preach that sermon, to tell you how good your hair looks, to tell you how beautiful your robe is, or how pretty your dress is. And his motives are not right. To entice you out of the church, to tempt you. We have to have discernment. We have to know. Now, I don't care how many years you've been in ministry. I don't care how many years you've been preaching. It's the same old tricks. Things you think you've been delivered from, you know you've been delivered from. He's going to sin right in your congregation, right in the midst of your congregation, to tempt you from the will of God. To say it's not worth it, to get you fed up, to get you frustrated. That you have one of these those days that say, these people, Lord, but he said, he told Ezekiel, he said, I'm not sending you to a people that you don't know. but to the house of Israel, a stiff-necked, hard-headed, rebellious people. So you know these things. He's brought you through them, every trial and tribulation that you went through. Prepared you for this time. Prepared you for your calling, for your purpose. Because he knew you could endure it. You were never alone. He said, I will never leave nor forsake you. So you were never alone by yourself, ladies, pastors, evangelists, ministers. He called you for such a time as this. And if you made it through those worldly circumstances, how much more so can you not make it in the calling of the living God? What has he placed down on the inside of you that is so valuable to him that he would not allow the enemy to take your life? So if he wouldn't allow him to take it then, why thank you? Why would you think that now as a woman pastor, as a woman clergy, because of what they say, telling you that you don't belong here, so you telling me to be quiet, what right do you have when God has given me this word down on the inside of me by his Holy Spirit, which lives and dwells within me? It is the power of God that speaks these words. It is not me in and of myself, because remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then the Word became flesh. And Christ said he was the first of what? Many brethren. He told the disciples, if I don't go away, then I can't send the Comforter. The disciples waited 50 days to receive the what? The Holy Ghost. It was women and men up there with them. It was just Peter who stood up and spoke. What do you think he said? This is that. That was prophesied by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, because it was women in there with them. But you don't hear that truth, do you? Recognize the power that is in you, that what God has entrusted you with. And understand, you cannot shrink back. You give up because of what they say. So you telling me to be quiet? No, I don't think so. It's not what the word says. It's not what I'm going to do. But because I am holy, because I am righteous, because I am filled with the Holy Ghost, with the word of Jesus Christ, with the word of the living God, I will speak what thus saith the Lord in all power and in all authority. For I have come to what? Set the captive free. I have come to heal. I have come to deliver. I have come to save his people. I have come to go into the hedges and highways and compel them to come. So no, I won't be silent. No, I won't be quiet, but I will speak that which thus saith the Lord and declare his work unto all nations. That's what I'm going to do. See, so you can't tell me, sir, ma'am, to be quiet, because you are out of order. So we no longer shrink back, and we no longer walk in fear, and we no longer are apprehensive as women of God, as pastors, as teachers, as evangelists, as prophets, whatever your calling is in God. You can't afford to be silent in this day and time. As the scriptures say, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So we can't allow what they say to stop us. We got to even become even more emboldened, even the more tenacious to preach this gospel. It's not about you, not about Pastor Ross. It's about the call of God for his people to deliver them out of bondage, to deliver them out of the hand of the enemy. So if you find yourself as a woman clergy in any ministry and you're stifling your calling because you feel like there's no room for you, or they're not allowing you to speak, but you know that you've been called, maybe that's not the place for you. Maybe that's not where you need to be. Are you growing? Ask yourself, are you growing? Did you pray? Did God give you instructions? Did he tell you to be there? Test the Spirit, by the Spirit, to see that it is of God. Is that truly an ordained leader? See, because if there is really a man of God, he's going to develop you into all that God has called you to do. He's going to be the one that pushes you. He's going to be the one that forces you when you don't want to go. He's going to send you to do the will of God and not accept no as an answer. Doesn't matter how you cry. Doesn't matter how you pout. Stay at home, they'll knock on your door. You're supposed to be at Bible study tonight. Aren't you supposed to be teaching a class? Why? Because he's truly concerned about developing the gift of God, the calling of God in you. I'm talking about a real leader. I'm not talking about these play folks that just want a position, that just want to be seen, that just wants some power over a woman and does every manner of evil that they can possibly do to a woman and call it the will of God. Now, the devil is a liar. And it's time, women, that you stop falling for this foolishness. God has nothing to do with the flesh. Number one. So anything to do with your flesh, touching your flesh, and you know this, that's a spirit of perversion. Understand that. Do not be subjected to that foolishness. But understand what the will of God is for your life. And not get caught up. I'm talking about holiness. I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about being true women of God. That's what I'm talking about. I know. You can't handle the truth, but this is what it is. This is what it is. So stop being deceived, women, by those who probably never been called and who have called themselves, subjecting you to every manner of evil that has nothing to do with the will of God. I just want to encourage you, ladies, that if God called you, you are more than able to do that which he called. God is not a man that he should lie. Not the son of man that he should repent. But his yes is yes, and his no's a no. to the glory of God in us. See? So next time they tell you, you need to be quiet, remind them, hey, no, that's not what the word says. He said he was pour out his spirit on all flesh. His sons and his daughters will prophesy. And that simply means to speak the word of God according to his will. This has been If My People with Pastor Leona Ross. We will see you next week. You be blessed. Trust God. Believe in his word. And don't allow anybody to move you from what thus saith the Lord. Until next week, good night.